If you would, turn in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, it's a very common passage. Most of us probably know it. It's called the faith passage. It's called the faith chapter. And there's a lot of places in it where it cites examples. It says, by faith this, by faith that. And so what I would like to present tonight is an urge to walk by faith. Contrarily, we could walk by sight. As we see in 2 Corinthians 5:7, the Bible says, "For we walk by faith, not by sight." Now that's in the middle of a larger passage, and the Apostle Paul is talking. I don't want to ever take anything out of context. You could easily just grab a verse and say, "Well, this is what I said to, you know, make it to mean something." But we can either walk by faith or we can walk by sight. Those are our options. And okay, never mind it. My mother's laughing. I think she may have seen a picture already. My wife asked me just this afternoon, why did I pick the title of the message, Walk by Faith? Well, it's because I was thinking a leap of faith, like Indiana Jones, is not really what we're aiming for. We don't want just some jump off a cliff. We don't want some crazy, you know, run off into the middle of nowhere type of life. We need to live by faith. And to walk by faith, to live by faith, we should be taking those steps. We should be walking the way God would have us to do. Many of you have heard the child song. I've sung it millions of times. Faith is just believing what God says He will do. And it's not an oversimplification of faith. That is exactly what it is. And we have a biblical definition here. We have the foundation of faith here in Hebrews chapter 11. So let's read through that. Actually, let's just read through the whole chapter, because we will be covering the whole thing. And when I hit on points, I probably won't remember to read the whole verses as we go back. But if you have Hebrews chapter 11 in your Bibles, please follow along with me as we read. Hebrews chapter 11. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts. And by it he, being dead, yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world, and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. By faith Abraham, when he was called to go out to a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. All these died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they had came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. By faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up, even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. By faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith Jacob, when he was a dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshiped, leaning upon the top of his staff. By faith Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel, and gave commandment concerning his bones. By faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents, because he saw that he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians, essaying to do, were drowned. By faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. By faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies in peace. And what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson, of Jephthah and David also, and Samuel, and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, and stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, and turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, they were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. All these, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise, God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you would be with the words of this message, Lord. I pray that your word would sink into our hearts and would draw us closer to you and would help us to walk by faith and not by sight. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So in the first two verses here, we have the foundation of faith. We also come back to it. So the Apostle Paul's speaking, and he gets a few examples in and says, well, hold on, let me go back and explain something as well. So in verse 6 as well, we have a definition of faith. It is the substance of hope. That stuff that you know it's there, it's in you, you're hoping for something, and you have the faith that whoever you're hoping in or whatever you're hoping for, it's going to happen. There's a substance there you can almost feel. It's the substance of things hoped for. The evidence of it is things unseen. You know what faith is? Faith is this. Oh, good, there was air to breathe. I had faith that there was air around me, and you can see the evidence of the air blowing around in the trees. You can't see it. Maybe you can on a cold day. This is Indiana, and it's already cold enough that you might start seeing your breath when you go outside. But it's the evidence of things unseen. The application of it, you see, by it the elders obtained a good report. If you apply faith in your life, if you are living and walking by faith, you can obtain a good report. People will say of you, they were faithful. And that's our goal as well when we get to heaven, to hear that, well done, thou good and consistent. Well, it's almost the same thing, but no. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Being full of faith. That's what the word faithful means. It means trusting God. And being faithful is doing just that, walking by faith and not by sight. And then he gives some requirements, and that's where we kind of... Oh, I'm sorry. The lack of faith. I have noted on here what you guys see and what you don't see, so I know you don't know that I tried to skip orders here. But now you do. But in verse 6 it says, but without faith it is impossible to please him. So the lack of faith, not having faith, brings displeasure to God. We want to please God. We want God to be happy with what we do. We want him to be pleased. But without faith it's impossible to please him. So for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. The requirements of faith to have it, you have to believe in God. And not just a God, you have to believe in the one and true God, as clearly explained in the scripture, the only true God that exists. You have to believe in him, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Does that mean that if we just do what God wants, he's going to reward us? Is this what life is about? No. No, it's not just a reward system that if we do good, we get benefits, and if we do bad, we don't get benefits. It's about our walk with God. It's about spreading the gospel of Christ. It's not like Job, like the devil. If you remember when we went through Job, the devil said, well, Job is just serving you because you're giving him good stuff. And God said, well, fine, take his stuff away. He'll still serve me. And in the end, after everything was stripped away, Job still said, naked I was born. I didn't have anything when I was born. Naked I'm going to die. I'm not going to have anything to take with me. Just as Aries was to saying this morning, not a single dead person that got to take their car or their stuff with them. Job said the same thing. I didn't have anything when I started. I may not have anything when I end, but blessed be the name of the Lord. So we need to believe in God and in his reward system. So then the Apostle Paul, he gives these examples. And we had the first three, some specific examples is what we have here. First, we have the example of creation. Now, faith says God did it. There's no other explanation. There is no sight in creation because nobody was there. There's not, well, I think it would have been this way. I think it would have been that way. If we're walking by sight in relation to creation, that's what evolution is. It's looking around and saying, well, you know, those creatures look like these creatures, and that person looks like this person, so they must have all just mutated along out of the primordial ooze, and now they're kind of all different. That'd be walking by sight, saying, well, it looks kind of the same, so that it kind of must have just worked together. No, by faith we know that God framed the foundation of the world. God did it. He created it. There's no other usable, there's no other good explanation, period. Abel's sacrifice was seen in verse 4. Abel offered the blood sacrifice. He gave of the first of his flock. And Cain gave of the first of his plants. Now, we don't know how much instruction they had gotten. And almost everyone here knows all these stories, so I'm not going to go back. Well, some of them I may go back to cite some passages in the Old Testament where we see things. But you know, they're the first couple people on the earth. God may not have given them the exact information on what was the right sacrifice, but it was a learning lesson. Maybe God did say, I want a blood sacrifice. And Cain said, well, I'm going to give you what I want, what I've got. I'm not messing with the blood sacrifice. I'm not messing with any of that. We don't know, but God said, God was pleased with Abel's sacrifice and he was displeased with Cain's. What is that? It's a learning lesson. If nothing else, Cain was supposed to walk away from that and say, okay, if I didn't know before, I know now this is what God wants. But instead, the Bible says that his countenance was fallen. And that word fallen is the same word that we get the word depression from nowadays. And God says, well, what's wrong? If you do right, you'll be accepted. If you do wrong, then sin lieth at the door. It's lying there like a lion ready to pounce is the example there. And Cain said, I'm going to do my own thing. I wanted to give you my plants, and you didn't like them, God. But God didn't want that. God wanted it the way he said. So what happened because of that? Cain ended up killing his brother Abel because Abel did what God wanted. And, you know, Cain wanted to do his own way, and every time he had to see his brother, he said, I can't believe that guy. He's got it in good with God because he's a little goody-two-shoes. And they fought in a field, and he killed him. And then, if we hadn't ever seen... Let me go ahead and go there, just because, you know, I think it's hilarious, but it's actually really sad. Let me find it. In verse 13 of Genesis 4, God has condemned Cain, and he says, you're gonna be wandering the earth now. And Cain said unto the Lord, my punishment is greater than I can bear. Behold, thou hast driven me out this day from the face of the earth, and from thy face shall I be hid. I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond in the earth, and it shall come to pass that everyone that findeth me shall slay me. How many people are on the earth at this point? Three? You got Adam and Eve, and now Cain, because he just killed Abel. And, you know, if he's not, he's definitely not thinking right. All he needed to do was repent and say, God, I'm sorry, I'm going to do it your way. And that's what we need to do to walk by faith. We need to, if we have been wanting to do things our own way, we need to say, God, I'm going to do it your way. I'm sorry, I've done it my way, I'm going to do your way. The third example, Enoch and his walk with God. Faith says, stick close to God. If you hang out with God, now, you know, you're not young people here, you don't understand hanging out. You spend time with God, he's going to work out the accommodations. And that's what happened. Pastors mentioned the example. Enoch and God are just walking along, and they just kind of are wandering around, and it starts to get dark. And Enoch says, whoa, it's dark out. I got to go home. And God says, my house is closer. Why don't you just come over to my place? And the other example, I always remember, Pastor always mentioned Cheryl. And when they had a car breakdown, Cheryl said, I'm going to stick with Pastor. I'm going to stick with, because God's going to take care of him. So I'm going to stick with him. If we stick with God, walking by faith says he's going to work out the examples. But walking by sight, boy, it's getting late. I better go home. I don't want to spend too much time with God. You know, if I'm that guy that's always praying, I'm that guy that's always reading my Bible, people are going to think I'm weird. You know, I better not get too far away out of my comfort zone. I better not be walking with God that close, or people are going to be looking at me strange. Are we walking by faith, or are we walking by sight? Then jumping over to verse 7, we start to talk about Noah. By faith, Noah, being warned of things not seen as yet, moved with fear. Not seen as of yet. You know what that means? And if we go back and read it, rain? Seriously? Rain? What's that? It's water falling out of the sky. Yeah, that stuff that's over in the ocean, that stuff that is always on the ground. It's never up high. It's always down. That's what water does. It always finds the lowest point somewhere. That's going to fall from the sky? Yeah. Walking by sight, Noah would have said, hey, wait a second. That's never happened. It had not been seen as of yet. Noah said, it's not going to happen. Well, maybe it might, a little bit of rain or something, but a flood that's going to cover the entire earth and kill everything? Okay, maybe you're exaggerating. Walking by sight, Noah might have said, I'm going to move a little higher up the mountain, just in case, but I'm not building a boat out in the middle of nowhere. That would be walking by sight. Noah says, a boat in the middle of dry land. Seriously? You think that's a good idea? It doesn't seem like a good idea to me. And that's where walking by sight would have got Noah. But walking by faith said, never heard of rain, but whatever that means, I'm building a boat. God said, build a boat, I'm going to build a boat. God said it, that settles it. Moving on to verses 8 through 19, we get to a big group, Abraham and Sarah. And I love this group because they've actually got examples of walking by sight and walking by faith that we can go right back to and say, that's what happens when you walk by sight and not by faith. In Genesis chapter 12, God gives the call. And we see it here in verse 8 as well. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out to a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went. Let me find this here. In chapter 12 of Genesis, the Bible says, Now the Lord had said unto Abram, Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee and curse them that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. So Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. But going back, he said, Get thee out of thy country and out of thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land, a specific spot that I'm showing you right now. No, he said unto a land that I will show thee. I'm not going to show it to you now, but you get going and I'll show you where to go. By living by sight, Abraham could have said, I like it here. I know everybody. I'm in my country. I've got my kindred around me, my family. They're all here. Everybody I know is here. I know this area. I don't need a GPS to get around. I know where the stores are. I know where the markets are. I know where the water is. I've got a pretty good life here. I got family here. You want me to go somewhere else I'd have never been to? And that you're not going to tell me where to go? You're just going to say go and you'll kind of lead me along the way? Walking by sight would say, I don't want to go. I want to stay here. I don't want to go where I don't know. But walking by faith says, God says he has a place for us. God said, go. So we do it. And that's what Abraham did. In Genesis 12 as well, and then in Genesis chapter 20, we find a good example of Abraham walking by sight. They go down into Egypt, and many of you know this story. They get there, and his wife Sarah, she's a nice-looking lady. So Abraham says, they understand that they're not supposed to marry you or take you if we're married as long as I'm alive. So they're going to kill me so they can have you. So tell them you're my sister so that they don't kill me. That's what Abraham did when they went down to Egypt. He said, tell them you're my sister. Well, wait a second. If she's your sister, then she's fair game. You know, and I can't remember who it was. The Egyptians. It was somebody specific. Let me find it. See, this is, you have to appreciate Pastor having all of his verses right there. Because I wasn't able to get them all put together so that they're right here in front of me. I have to actually flip through my Bible to find them. He said in verse 12 of Genesis chapter 12, therefore it shall come to pass when the Egyptians shall see thee, they shall say, this is his wife. And they will kill me, but they will save thee alive. Say, I pray thee, thou art my sister, that it may be well with me for thy sake, and my soul shall live because of thee. And then moving on down to 15, and the princes also of Pharaoh saw her, and commended her before Pharaoh, and the woman was taken into Pharaoh's house. The Pharaoh said, oh, well, she's single. The guy that she came in with is her brother. So, hey, take her. She's going to be one of mine now. And God intervened and said, you're a dead man. That woman is not, she's already somebody else's wife. And so, you know, roundabout in all that, they ended up leaving that area. Well, you know, because they had a bad testimony as well. Because of what, and you know what? Abraham, he was walking by sight. He was saying, oh no, they're going to kill me. And so he tried to think of a solution other than just trusting God that God would protect them. The same guy does it again in chapter 20. In chapter 20 of Genesis, he does the same thing with a guy named Abimelech. He goes into an area and he says, look, tell them you're my sister so that they don't kill me. And Sarah looks at him and says, yeah, because that worked so well the last time. Okay. I mean, she submitted to the authority over her. She did what her husband told her to do. But Abraham, come on. You're walking by sight. You're not walking by faith. You're not trusting that God, who told you to go, you're not trusting that God can protect you as you go. The same type of thing happened there. The guy, Abimelech, took him to be his wife, and God, that's the one where God actually told him, you're a dead man, because this woman's someone else's. And Abimelech had not come near her, verse 4 of chapter 20, but he said, Lord, wilt thou also slay a righteous nation? Said he not unto me, she is my sister? And she herself said, he is my brother. In the integrity of my heart and the innocency of my hands have I done this. I didn't mean to do anything wrong, God. They said it was okay. I didn't mean to do anything wrong. And God spared him. It didn't become too big an issue. But once again, Abraham ruined his testimony by walking by sight, by seeing, I think this would be a better idea than just telling the truth. And it doesn't work out. Telling the truth is God's way. And to walk by faith, we need to trust him to protect us, even when we're in a strange land, when we're somewhere that we have never been before. We need to trust him. Abraham and Sarah also trusted God to some extent. They walked by faith a little bit, but they really walked by sight in relation to children. God came, and they're old. I mean, they're old folks. We know what old folks are like. They're not having kids. It's extremely rare, and it's not going to happen. And Sarah said, I'm going to have a kid? I'm going to have, really? And Sarah, God bless her soul, she took the step of sight. And she said, well, in this area, it's a custom that if your husband has a child by one of your servants, you can claim that child as yours, and then that becomes your heir. That must be what God meant. Because I know God didn't mean I'm having any kids. Instead, she should have just said, God, okay, I guess we get to act like young people again. So let's go. Instead, she walked by sight. And she said, well, let's do what the world would probably want in this situation. Let's do not specifically what God said. Let's just kind of, do whatever everyone else would do in this situation. That's probably right. No, you're walking by sight. You're not walking by faith. By faith, God said, and what happened? They had the kid. They had, that was Ishmael, which the Muslims all claim they're descended from, so they claim they're some of the true inheritance. But that whole issue of Ishmael and then Isaac, it wouldn't have happened. It wouldn't have even been a problem if they had just walked by faith rather than walking by sight. And then finally, the fourth example under Abraham and Sarah, which is really a redeeming walking by faith example, is the sacrifice of Isaac. Sight would say, wait a second, God. You promised that I'm going to have seed that is more than the sand of the seashore, more than the stars in the sky, and I have one son to accomplish that with. And you want me to go sacrifice him? You want me to go kill him? God, you know what sacrifice means, right? I mean, you told us to sacrifice animals all the time, and they have to die for that to happen. You want me to kill my son? There's no way. Walking by sight, Abraham would have said, not happening. There's no way. There's no way this is going to work out. No, God, I'm not doing it. But what did he do? He took Isaac up to the hilltop, and it's interesting because Isaac isn't a little kid. He's not Ethan's age. He's a full-grown adult by this point in time. He's an able-bodied man. And he goes up there, and Isaac, this is verse 7 of chapter 22 of Genesis still. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. Now either Isaac was extremely gullible, or he was extremely submissive. He knew if God said, you and your dad go up on that hilltop and make a sacrifice to me, he knew he was probably going to die in that sacrifice because there was no other explanation. But he was willing to walk by faith. And Abraham walked by faith in this example, and he was ready to do it. In Genesis 22, chapter 8, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. Then we come to Isaac and Jacob as we continue through Genesis with these examples. In Genesis chapter 27, verses 20 and 21, That's not where I want to be. But we know the story. We know with Isaac and Jacob. Jacob was Jacob and Esau. They were born twins, and God said that the elder would serve the younger. Now, mom's there Rachel, right? I think so. Mom's there, and she says, oh, okay. I know how this is going to happen. Rebecca. My mom's back there correcting me. I know how this is going down, and we're gonna make it work out. So what did they do? When Isaac got old, and it was time for him to lay his blessing on his eldest son, she brought in Jacob. She said, no, put on this skin of a lamb, this fur coat. Put that on, because he's going to want to feel you and make sure that you're Esau. Yeah, that's him. They end up tricking Isaac into giving Jacob the blessing. And in the birthright, I mean, even before this, there was the other example where Esau comes in and he is starving. He's been out hunting all day. He hasn't had anything to eat. He says, man, I just want some of that soup. He says, okay, just give me your birthright. You make sure you understand that I get the promise. I get the inheritance from God. I get the inheritance from our father. And he says, fine, what do I need that for if I'm going to die of starvation here? So he traded his birthright for a bowl of soup. Jacob was going down the path of walking by sight. He twisted his brother's arm into getting that birthright from him. And then when it came time to get it, his mom helped him dress him up and put the coat on him and send him in there so that his father would bless him instead of his brother. The word Jacob is also, it's the word deceiver. It's the word trickster. He grabbed him, a heel grabber is another word. And that's when they came out, when they were born, he had grabbed his brother's heel. It's an interesting picture there. Walking by sight, Jacob said, you know, God said I would be first, so I've got to be pretty conniving and scheming to make this happen. It also got himself killed, because once Esau knew that his blessing was gone, he had a mind to pretty much kill Jacob. And let me find it, because the passage is really good here. In Genesis 27, verse 43, now therefore, my son, obey my voice and arise, flee thee to Laban, my brother, to Haran. This is Rebekah talking to Jacob, and she's saying, now that you've got the blessing, you better run, because... verse 44, and tarry with him a few days until thy brother's fury turn away, until thy brother's anger turn away from thee, and he forget that which thou hast done to him. Then I will send and fetch thee from hence. Why should I be deprived also of you both in one day? And that, why should I be deprived of you both in one day? If Esau killed Jacob, the next eldest is supposed to avenge the murder. So he would be killing Esau. So she's saying, if you kill him, If Esau kills you, someone's going to kill Esau to get the revenge, to avenge your death, and you're both going to die. So run. Go away. Go to Haran and stay with Laban. Now, it may have seemed like a real bad idea at the time for Jacob, but that time in Haran with Laban was probably the best time, was the best learning experience of his life. Because you know what happened there? The trickster got tricked. He served Laban 7 years for Rachel, and on the wedding night, he got Leah instead. And he said, wait a second, what in the world? I served you 7 years for your youngest daughter. And Laban said, well, you served me another 7 years and you can have her. And he had to work another seven, so he spent 14 years to get what he wanted. And you know, in those 14 years, I bet every day he was thinking, I can't believe he tricked me. I can't believe he ripped me off. I can't believe he took from me what I was going to have. And at some point, it had to click. What's happening to him was exactly what he did to his brother. Maybe it wasn't with women. Maybe it wasn't with trading the girl out on the wedding night. But it was the same idea, stealing the birthright, tricking their father into giving it to him. Walking by faith would have said, cheating and stealing is not God's way. I better work hard at doing right and let God work out the details. And when he was reconciled with Esau, he went to great lengths to show that he had changed. If we look at when Esau, when he comes back, and he meets Esau again, he hadn't seen him in those 14 years. In chapter 32 of Genesis, starting in verse 4, and he commanded them, this is Jacob commanding his servant, saying, "Thus shall you speak unto my lord Esau. Thy servant Jacob saith thus, I have sojourned with Laban, and have stayed there until now. And I have oxen and asses and flocks and men servants and women servants, and I have sent to tell my lord that I may find grace in thy sight." Jacob is still, 14 years later, he is still pretty concerned that Esau is hot and going to kill him or do something. So he sends his servants to go explain that he's been working for these past 14 years. He has not been gambling and cheating and stealing things. He's been working hard, and he's got a lot of stuff now that he earned, not that he stole. And in verse 6, the messengers returned to Jacob, saying, "We came to thy brother Esau, and also he cometh to meet thee, and 400 men with him." They didn't say, "Yeah, everything's good." They just said, "He's coming here. He's coming to see you. And he's got 400 guys with him." And Jacob, it said, "And Jacob was greatly afraid and distressed, and he divided the people that was with him, and the flocks and the herds and the camels into two bands, and said, if Esau come to the one company and smite it, then the other company which is left shall escape." It's a military tactic. Split up the army. If the guy that's coming is intent on destroying you, you'll know it by the time half of them's destroyed and you can run. But what happened when they all got up there, Esau wasn't mad anymore. It had been 14 years. Esau had plenty of other things that he had to deal with. And so he explained that he had changed. And the interesting thing is, this is also the time where God came to Jacob at night, and he wrestled with him. In verse 26 of chapter 32 of Genesis, and he said, "Let me go, for the day breaketh." And he said, "I will not let thee go, except thou bless me." And he said unto him, "What is thy name?" And he said, "Jacob." And he said, "Thy name shall no more be called Jacob." You're not going to be called a deceiver, a trickster anymore, but Israel, for as a prince thou hast power with God, with men, and hath prevailed. And the interesting thing is that's where he also got his, what we believe to be his lifelong handicap, having to walk with a cane, because it says that he. In verse 25, when he's wrestling with the Lord, and he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. That thigh never fully healed. Jacob remembered this day when God changed his name from the deceiver to Israel. God, he remembered that for the rest of his life, because we see it in Hebrews. Let me get back there now to our actual passage. Now we spent so much time away from it. By faith Jacob, when he was a dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshipped, leaning upon the top of his staff. Jacob never got over that night where his name was finally changed. And then it was that next day when he finally met Esau face to face and was able to explain, "I'm not the man now that I was before. I'm not a trickster anymore. I have learned to walk by faith. I used to walk by sight. I used to trick and scheme and connive and steal. Not anymore. I'm not even called Jacob anymore. My name's Israel from now on, because God said so." Joseph, in verse 22, where we are in Hebrews chapter 11, "By faith Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones." What in the world? When he died, he gave commandment concerning his bones. What is that even talking about? Joseph remembered the promise of God to Abraham that his people would have their own land. And it wasn't going to be Egypt. That's where they were. By this time, all of the Israelites were down in Egypt. And they were going to be becoming slaves. As long as Joseph was still alive, they really weren't. They had it decently well living in Egypt. But it took time eventually they became the slaves of Egypt. And Joseph, as he was dying, he said, "This is not our home. We are not going to stay here, because walking by faith, we know that God promised us our own land. So when I'm dead, you take this body with you when you leave. I want to be buried in the promised land. I want to be buried where God said we're going, because we're not staying here in Egypt forever. We may be here now, we may be here for a while, we're not here forever. And when we go, you take me with you, even though I'm dead. You take my bones, you bury them in the promised land, because that's where I want to be." Walking by sight would say, just bury me wherever. We're stuck in Egypt, and we're never going to get to the promised land, wherever that is anyway. So just bury me here and forget about me. My life is over, and it has meant nothing. That would be walking by sight. But walking by faith says, God promised we're having our own place. So when you go, take me with you, because I'm not staying here either. Then we've gotten down into Egypt. And if you notice, I'm preaching through the whole Bible here. This is what the Apostle Paul did. He just preached from cover to cover, all the way through, with all these examples. Moses. Moses is an amazing story. He's just like Abraham and Sarah, because he's got good examples, he's got bad examples as well. We can see from him whether he was walking by faith or walking by sight, by these examples. He was raised by his own family. You see, in verse 23, "By faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents, because they saw that he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment." The king's commandment in this was that every male child, see, because these Israelite slaves, they were multiplying and overpopulating, and we're going to have a hard time controlling them. So they said, every boy that's born, you cast it in the river. The women, save them. But the boys, you throw them in the river, because we don't want them multiplying. We don't want a strong group of slaves that are going to revolt and come back. We want the men gone. So you throw the boys in the river. Now, it says it was verse 22 of chapter 1 of Exodus. "And Pharaoh charged all his people, saying, every son that is born ye shall cast in the river, and every daughter ye shall save alive." Now, walking by faith, Moses' parents could have said, maybe we should run away. Maybe when the guards come to kill the boy, we try to kill the guards. Maybe we hide the baby. Maybe we, I don't know, there's got to be some other way, but to go ahead and cast him in the river? Now, wait a second. They did say just cast him in the river. They didn't specify whether he could be in a boat or not. So they put him in a boat, put him in the river. They said, well, we're going to have to live by faith. We're going to have faith that God will protect our baby. And you know what? The mother's still standing there on the side of the bank when the little boat is over on the other side and the baby's crying. And who finds it? Pharaoh's daughter. And she says, oh, this is an Israelite baby. Hey, you, come take care of this thing. And Moses was raised in his own house by his own family, but he was like the adopted son of Pharaoh's daughter. He was raised by his own family. He had the potential privilege. He could have walked by sight, and he could have said, my adopted mother is Pharaoh's daughter. I don't have to work for anything. I could just coast on my relationship with the important people that I know. I wouldn't have to do anything. I just do whatever I want, because, you know, I'm in with the house. I'm with the house of Pharaoh. My mother, adopted mother, whatever. She's the daughter of Pharaoh. I don't need to work for anything. I don't need to do anything. But the Bible says that he refused to be called. In verse 24 of chapter 11 of Hebrews, where we are, Moses, when he was come of years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy pleasures of sin for a season. He walked by faith and said, no, I'm Hebrew. I'm an Israelite. I'm one of the slave people. I'm not Pharaoh's daughter, or Pharaoh's son. I'm not the son of Pharaoh's daughter. That's not me. I'm one of them. But here's a good example of him walking by sight. Moses said, you know what? The Israelites shouldn't be in bondage. We shouldn't be slaves. So let's break out of here. Let's get out of here. How do we do it? well, there's an Egyptian beating one of the Israelites. I'll just kill him. I'll just take him out one by one. Is that walking by faith or walking by sight? That's walking by sight. And it was a really bad idea. Really, Moses? You're going to take care of him one of the... Nobody's going to notice that the Egyptians are just disappearing and being buried out in the desert somewhere? Come on, Moses. You're walking by sight. Walking by sight would say, kill those rotten Egyptians and hide them in the desert. Yeah, let's do it. One by one. Someone's going to notice it. But walking by faith, which Moses eventually did, was to do what God said. And that is to go in and tell Pharaoh, let my people go. As simple as that. Go tell Pharaoh, let my people go. What if he says no? Here's these miracles for you to perform to show Pharaoh that your God means business. Do those miracles. And if Pharaoh says no, then say, okay, and walk away. That's where the plagues came from. Every single one of those plagues, every single the frogs and the fleas and the locusts, all that, all of those horrible plagues that went through Egypt, they were like sandpaper smoothing down that rough spot on Pharaoh so that eventually Pharaoh would say, enough, go ahead. And you know what it finally took? It finally took that Passover where the firstborn of all in Egypt were killed. Now, walking by sight in relation to that Passover would have said, wait. The angel of death is going to come and kill the firstborn, and I'm supposed to spray blood on my doorframe to keep him out? Seriously, this is an angelic being that can fly, and blood on a doorframe is going to stop it? Or blood on a doorframe is going to identify that they're not supposed to come to this house? Walking by sight would say, look, the angels know who the good guys are and who the bad guys are. I'm not gonna, you know, kill my best lamb just to spray his blood on the door. That doesn't make any sense at all. Walking by sight would say, no, wait a second. We're leaving in a few days. I'm keeping all my animals ready to go. They need all their feet to walk. If that lamb's a pork chop, he's not gonna be ready to go. Now, if he's a pork chop, there's something else wrong. But if that lamb is dead, you're going to have a hard time dragging him out of Egypt. So, wait, walking by sight would say, I'm not going to do that. The angels should know who the bad guys and the good guys are. They work for God. But they walked by faith, and their children were not killed. The eldest was not killed. Of all the Israelite families. And that's when Pharaoh said, holding his dead son in his arms, probably, he said, go. I don't want to see you guys ever again. Just get out of here. Leave. Continuing on, another example of Moses, another example of him walking by sight, is when they do start wandering. They're out in the wilderness. And the people say, we don't have any food. We don't have any water. Well, God fed them with manna, which means, what is it? So, hey, what is it? Yeah, that's what we're calling it too. God fed them with manna. But the people said, we don't have any water. We need water. And so Moses did what God told him, and he took his staff and he hit the rock. And the water came forth. And it was water for all of them to drink. And then a little while later, they complained again, we need water. And God told Moses, this time you talk to that rock. You go talk to it, and it'll give you the water. And Moses, in this example, he walked by sight and said, it worked the first time, I'm doing it the second time. I need to make sure these people understand that God does not have time for them to be complaining about water. And he hit that rock again, and he ruined the example that God was trying to show of Christ being the rock that provides living water. And by walking by sight in that example, he didn't make it to the promised land. Moses saw the promised land from afar off, but never got to go in. Walking by faith would have said, God can and will provide our needs. We're wandering in the wilderness, but we're right where God told us to be. He will provide our needs. Joshua, we're into verse 30 now. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. In 31, by faith, the harlot Rahab perished not when she had received the spies in peace. Jericho, here's a fortified city. Joshua comes up to it. God says, it's in your hands. You got it. Okay, we go destroy it? No, just go walk around it. Oh, wait a second, God. We've fought other people before. We've had battles. We've seen fortified cities. You don't conquer a fortified city by doing a lap around it every day. God said, you walk around it. You have the entire camp. March around it one time every day for 6 days, and march around it 7 times the 7th day. And Joshua said, okay, let's do it. So Joshua and his army are marching around the city, and they did exactly what God told them to do. He walked by faith, and those walls of Jericho came tumbling down. They fell right down. Was that something that they did by power, by might? No. That city fell because they did exactly what God told them to do. God gave them the victory because they walked by faith and not by sight. Walking by sight would have been a fortified city. We're going to need to siege it. We're going to need to hit it with everything we've got. We're going to need to build some big cannons and weapons. We're going to try to infiltrate it through the water ditches or something. We're going to have to scale the walls. We're going to have to build ladders. We're going to have a huge battle. We're going to have to conquer this thing. That'd be walking by sight. But walking by faith says, let's do it God's way. And that's what they did. And the walls came tumbling down. Rahab. Rahab's side is cited as an example here. I love her example because she received the spies that came in to spy out the land, and she hid them when the guys came and said, hey, we're looking for those Israelite people that are wandering through here. You seen them? No, they're not up on my roof. She hid the spies, and when they were leaving, she said, now, you promised me that I'm okay. I know God promised you guys this land. I don't want to get in the way of that. Can you promise me that you won't come and kill me when you take over? And they made a deal with her. In Joshua chapter 2, verse 12. Now therefore I pray you, swear unto me by the Lord, since I have showed you kindness, that you will also show kindness unto my father's house, and give me a true token, and that you will save alive my father and mother and my brother and my sisters and all that they have, and deliver our lives from death. And the men answered her, our life for yours, if ye utter not our business. And it shall be, when the Lord hath given us this land, that we will deal kindly and truly with thee. Then she let them down through a cord through the window, for her house was upon the town wall, and she dwelt upon the wall. And she said unto them, get you to the mountain, lest the pursuers meet you, and hide yourselves there 3 days until the pursuers have returned, and afterward you may go your way. And the men said unto her, we will be blameless of this our oath. We promise we won't, when we come back, we won't kill you and your family, in your house. We will be blameless of this thine oath, which thou hast made us swear. Behold, when we come into the land, thou shalt bind this line of scarlet thread, the rope that they were going down, bind this line of scarlet thread in the window, which thou didst let us down by, and thou shalt bring thy father and thy mother and thy brethren and all thy father's household home into thee. And it shall be that whosoever shall go out of the doors of thy house unto the street, his blood shall be upon their head, and we will be guiltless. And it goes on, they explain a little more detail. But basically, Rahab, we promise we won't kill you and your family, but you guys better be in this house. And we need to know which house this is. So you better hang this rope out the window when we get here. What would Rahab have wanted to do if she was walking by sight? She would have said, wait a second. An army shows up. The entire town knows we're in trouble. And I've got a red flag hanging out my window. I'm not doing it. I'm gonna wait till you guys attack. I'm gonna wait till the walls are falling down, and then I'm gonna try to put my sign out. I'm gonna try to put my flag. I'm gonna try to put that rope out so that you see it. But every single time those Israelites went around that town, they saw that cord. And all of them knew, we don't kill those people. what could be going on inside the city? I'm betting you people are banging on the door saying, why are you hanging a flag out your window? And Rahab could have walked by sight. She could have said, if I do something like that, if I make it apparent that I'm with the guys out there, they're gonna break in and kill me and my family. My own people are going to. But she walked by faith, and she hung that rope in the window. Everyone else was toast. Just her household, just that part. So then we get to some summary examples, which is what I like. The Apostle Paul, just like myself, is probably realizing I've spent a whole lot of time on all these detailed examples. I didn't get to what I was really trying to say. I spend a lot of time on these little examples, but I really need to drive it home that we need to walk by faith and not by sight. So he lumps the rest of them in together into what I would call some summary or conclusionary. I put "ary" in parentheses because spell check doesn't like the word conclusionary. Maybe it's not a word. I don't know. But some conclusionary examples, and we read them. But let's just go through a few of them. And what shall I say more? Verse 32. And what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, of Barak, of Samson, of Jephthah, of David. Also, you know, every single one of these people, he could have cited a lot of good examples. David's got a lot of good examples of walking by faith and walking by sight. But he could have kept going. David also and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, on and on and on and on and on. All these other examples of these people who by faith, they did what God wanted them to do. They accomplished great things by stepping out and walking in faith rather than walking in sight. So faith says, walking by faith says, God can do it. Let's go. Let's do it. Let's faith is just believing what God says he will do. So let's believe him. Let's have that faith and let's go do. Let's go do what God wants done. Walking by sight would say, oh, quench the fires, stop the mouths of lions. Am I really strong enough to do that kind of stuff? Do I need they conquered this. I'm going to need a bigger army if I'm going to conquer something. That's not for me. Do I need more money? Yeah, I'm going to have to work and earn more money. I'm going to have to get a better job before I really have the finances available to give to missionaries, to do this kind of stuff. I'm going to have more money. So I can't really do that there. Do I need more power? Do I need more authority? Maybe once I'm the boss of a company, Maybe then would be a good time to witness to my coworkers, because then I can fire them if they say they don't want to get saved. But when I'm the little guy, I'm the low guy on the totem pole, I can't really talk to people about Christ. I'm going to need more authority. I'm going to need more power. I'm going to need more charisma. I'm going to need more time. I'm too busy. I don't have enough time to really step out and walk in faith. I really have to stick with what I can see and what I know and what's right here in front of me. What might be causing you to walk by sight and not by faith? Do you feel that you don't have the time right now to do all that you should for Christ? But maybe when you have more time, you will. How about your influence with others? Do you think that you can't really witness to others right now because you need to be better at public speaking or have a better charismatic personality? People just don't like talking to me. So I'm going to work on my personality skills, and then I'll try to go witness to people. Are you trusting in the security of your job when you know that God wants you to step out in faith and trust him to provide for your needs? All these things come from walking by sight and not by faith. Sight says, me, me, me. What do I think? What do I want to do? Where am I going? What am I, me and what I'm doing? That's sight. Faith says, God said it, so that settles it. Let's go. Let's do what God wants. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we pray that your word, as it's gone forward this evening, would dwell in our hearts, Lord. would help us to walk by faith and not by sight, Lord. Help us to truly assess the situations ahead of us and see your path, Lord, to see what's right and to trust you to provide for our needs, Lord, to provide for our safety, Lord, as only you can. As we have so many examples of those that have walked by sight and those that have walked by faith, let us step out and walk in faith from this day forward. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.